Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in Hail Varsity Radio Road Show Thursday, just inside of Longwells for Real Red Tip-Off. Chris Schmidt, Damon Barr, as we are back at the friendly confines of Longwells here in the rail yard. A lot of Nebraska fans getting after it a bit early as Sparty comes to town. Tom Izzo, Michigan State, Cassius Winston, and a reeling Michigan State team. Do they stay reeling, or does Nebraska snap this god-awful 10-game losing streak? We'll step into it, talk a little Nebraska basketball. Always time for some Husker football. You can join us down here at Longwells. We're here till 6. Going to hang out after that for a bit. Tip off at 7:30. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825 5865. Follow us on Twitter. Schmidt underscore radio is my Twitter handle. Chris Schmidt. Give Damon Barr a follow at Damon Barr, two R's, and can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. So, what we got on the docket today, we'll check in with Brandon Vogel from HailVarsity.com and magazine. Some more thoughts on Nebraska as spring kickoff nears. Some news and notes around Major League Baseball. David Big Poppy Ortiz sounds off. Big Poppy is going with the snitch card on those pitchers that revealed and sourced the info they had with the Astros. I have some thoughts on that. Hour two, a double shot of Husker greatness. Andy Markowski will join us. Get the Pride of Ord's thoughts on Nebraska tonight and the high school basketball scene. Also, Hall of Fame coach Jeff Smith. We love talking hoops with Coach Smith. He'll join us at 5:25. It is Burke's Best Bets. Danny Burke from Vegas, the Pride of Chicago. Get his take on some Big Ten action tonight and some baseball over-under win totals. I want to see his thoughts on the Houston Astros and just if any value can be made with the Astros with the win-loss number. So Danny Burke coming up, and you're joining us here. We want to see you down at Longwells 4-6. All right, Damon, I'm going to bring you in, my friend, and we'll get predictions here right before we say goodbye at 6. But superstition's very key when it comes to sports fans. The same Nebraska basketball fans come to Longwells. They love the food, they love the drink, but they order that drink. They'll order possibly rum in homage to the movie Major League, and to make sure things went well, you always had to get Joe Boo his rum. You're the rum king. Have you gotten Joe Boo his rum today, so Nebraska's streak ends mercifully against Michigan State? Have you made that commitment?
Not today. I've been in class all day, Schmidt, so I haven't been putting it in my water bottle like I usually do to get through the day, but maybe after the show I'll stop by Longwell's and I'll take you up on that so we can get the Huskers a much-needed win today.
You know, it's going to be interesting. You've got the family dynamic today with Coach Hoiberg, his son Jack coming back, and Jack's a big part. I know he doesn't see a ton of minutes for Michigan State, but he's one of those guys that makes everybody better. He has made Cassius Winston better. He's made Tillman better. He's made those NBA dudes better for Michigan State, and we'll hear from Coach Hoiberg here in just a little bit. And Coach Hoiberg really got a fun experience with Michigan State's Final Four run last year. Not only being around his son, but being around Coach Izzo. Coach Hoiberg and Coach Izzo's relationship is fantastic. Don't kid yourself. They want to beat the hell out of one another tonight. So that is interesting. What type of performance do you get from Cam Mack? And he is going up against Cassius Winston. What do we see from Nebraska's stud point guard? You have Winston that's a known commodity that has drugged this team along, and it's tough, quite honestly, watching him have the season and Michigan State have the season that they have had as a preseason number one, drop all the way out of the rankings, and you're thinking a one or a two seed, and quite frankly, they're a five seed right now, looking at being a six seed. So it's not the fairy tale ending to this point that you thought Michigan State was in store for. Does that get flipped around? The water's kind of calm for Michigan State. They have lost four out of five. They won at Illinois over the weekend, blew a 20-point lead. They looked like old Michigan State the way things were flowing and falling offensively and the way they were rebounding. Then they puked up that lead and then finished things off. Michigan State is a team that turns the basketball over way too many times for their own good. Nebraska is a team that forces a lot of turnovers. You're going to need your inhaler and your track shoes tonight because tempo is going to be what is paramount for both teams. Can Nebraska, dare I say it, hit shots? That's obvious, but can they actually hit shots against a great defensive team? Sparty only allows you about 62, 63 points a contest. You shoot less than 30% from three on them. And while they don't have Mutombo down in the paint, they're pretty good in the rim. And the thing that's good about Michigan State, man, and it's been this way for Izzo, they can play any style. They can go half court. They can bang it down low on the block. They can get inside touches, kick outs for open threes, and they can take you off the dribble. And defensively, they are so good, and Pizzo nailed this week. They are so good. Say you're getting just roasted by a guy one-on-one. Well, Michigan State's so good with help defense that as a five-man group on the floor, they have each other's back. Can Nebraska play defense? Can Nebraska play offense and finish at the rim? And can Nebraska get some drive and kicks for Thor from three? Can a cross on some pick and pops do well with Nebraska around the arc? Nebraska's going to have to hit at least 10 threes tonight to get things on the right side here. That may not even be enough to win for Nebraska, but from a maturity standpoint, Winston is what you want Cam Mack to become. And Cam Mack has got all the physical God gifts to do it. Cam Mack is lightning quick. Cam Mack is good at finding teammates. He is so blessed visually. And Cam Mack can get streaky good shooting the basketball. But from a maturity standpoint, I mean, it's okay to not be a finished, polished product right now if you're Cam Mack. You've shown a lot of ability to be really good. You've shown a lot of ability single-handedly keep your team and teammates in it. But Cam Mack needs one of those wow ball games tonight, like you saw against Iowa with the rebounding, with the assists, with the scoring. And Cam's been a bit sluggish offensively, but he's still been good at getting his teammates involved with the assist numbers. I hope Cam doesn't try and do too much tonight, because you can have a tendency as a younger player to make it about you, and you can have a tendency as a young player wanting to show out and shut down the Big Ten preseason player of the year, the reigning All-American, the guy that got his Michigan State squad to the Final Four last year. You can have a really good game, but you don't have to go blow for blow against Cassius Winston tonight. Just let the game flow, control it, run the tempo, be your usual magnificent self, passing the basketball, and hit some open shots if the ball's moving. Nebraska cannot hang their head tonight if the shots aren't going at the rim. That has single-handedly affected Nebraska basketball in this 10-game losing streak. How they have finished at the rim, you know how poorly they've shot at the rim. That's not anything new. They need to finish better, yes. But if it's not going down between missed free throws and missed layups, you can't let it affect you defensively. It has, and that's been part of the ailment quite honestly, with this Nebraska streak. So what Michigan State team shows up? A team that loses focus and can't close out, and they're clearly more talented, more experienced. But Michigan State's had a tough time winning in Lincoln. They rolled last year. Special moment for my little guy. Junior's a big Michigan State fan. We have shipped his ass off to Tampa this week. So maybe instead of the rum or Joe Boo, maybe having Junior not in the building tonight will spell a win for Nebraska basketball. But he got a chance to meet Winston and Izzo last year, and those guys couldn't be more kind to my kid, which is really cool. My wife, I'm actually taking her to her first Nebraska event since the 2001 Notre Dame football game. Yeah, I'm that guy. I do it for the state. Once I spend a little bit of time here, cut two. This is Hoiberg, and this is a bit of humor with Hoiberg touching on his relationship with Izzo.
I'm excited to see him tonight. Obviously, we don't get enough time in this business to spend with our families. So, you know, to have Jack home, I think they'll get in probably a little bit later. But, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get him home for dinner. I tried to call into Izzo's radio show the other night, but they didn't answer. I was going to be Bob from Saginaw. And I had a good question for him, but they didn't answer.
Bob from Saginaw, line two. And I would have loved to hear that phone call be made. But it is going to be emotional tonight for Hoiberg and for Jack and for Mom and for Grandma and Grandpa and for the Hoiberg twins. I hope family dinner went great last night. If you're a Nebraska fan, you want dinner at Longwell's before you get to PBA to go great and then see high-octane basketball. More from Hoiberg on the family dynamic.
I don't know. I think Carol's pretty torn about what she's going to wear. The twins better wear red. And my parents, I'm sure, one will wear green and one will wear red.
So a little Christmas love tonight. Hoiberg detailed his time around Michigan State. You had Michigan State and Izzo actually use some of the plays that Hoiberg would draw up on a whiteboard. I mean, Fred's an offensive genius. His system is well respected, and don't kid yourself, Michigan State used some of the Hoiberg mind and magic to get them to the Final Four. It wasn't a full playbook, but it was an up-close and personal scout. I mean, Hoiberg will have his guys ready from a game plan standpoint. Can Nebraska go out and make it happen? This is Hoiberg yesterday after their shoot-around, his time around Michigan State a season ago.
I think the world of Coach Izzo for everything that he's accomplished, the type of person that he is first and foremost, how down to earth he is. It's so fun to be a part of that journey that they had last year to the Final Four, winning both Big Ten championships, regular season and conference tournament. And that game against Duke was one of the greatest college basketball games I've ever seen, with Zion and all their first-round draft picks they had, and just to see the way that Michigan State kept going through all the adversity that they had and the injuries that they had a year ago. So, it was a fun thing to be able to spend time, not only with the coaches, but also spend time with Jack and the family. I think I'd accepted the job the day before that game in Washington, D.C. last year. But it was really cool moment with our family to be able to spend with Jack as they made that Final Four run.
Coach Hoiberg on his time around Michigan State. Chris Schmidt, Damon Barr down here at Longwell's. Real red tip-off ahead of Nebraska, Michigan State. Come see us at Longwell's here till 6. Food and drink specials going on. Plenty of Nebraska basketball fans will be rolling in here. And this is your headquarters as you cross the street over to PBA to be loud and make this thing a ball game tonight with your energy as a Nebraska fan. The matchup, you have two of them. One, it's Hoiberg v. Izzo. Two is Cam versus Cassius. And this is part of that breakdown from Hoiberg.
Yeah, it's going to be a very high-level matchup. Cassius is just so relentless with his push and with his pace. It's unlike anything we've seen this year. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face, show him all the film. But it's hard to simulate until you actually get out in front of it and see it. And the transition defense obviously has to be on point. We have to be able to get back and load and, get a high hand on him wherever he is. He's just going to keep the ball in his hands. He and Tillman are great. great in the two-man game, and offensive rebounds obviously is where, you know, Coach Izzo's teams have made a living, you know, since he's been at Michigan State. So those are going to be two huge things, getting back and finding a way to get bodies, physical cutouts, and rebound the basketball.
Yes, rebound the basketball, and Sparty is exquisite at doing that. So the question that's out there, and I've talked to everybody in the Big Ten that we have on here, you talk to different guys that have been part of programs and cover college basketball, it's just, it's odd. It's absolutely odd, and I know Michigan State suffered some injuries, specifically Langford, and you can't plan for that, and you got to adapt to it and move forward. Last saw it here before we check out. This is Hoiberg on what to make of this Michigan State season, because you don't see a one preseason ranked squad go to unranked and then usually right themselves. Usually it's a brutal tailspin downward. Michigan State's shown some signs of life, however.
Still an unbelievably talented team that I think will be there right at the end. They're too talented. And, you know, when you look at Coach Izzo's teams, you know, they have these little setbacks for the season. I think he likes it. I think he likes the adversity that they have to handle. And generally they right the ship heading into tournament time. They've had some really close losses against some great teams. And, you know, that's this league. It's just such a grind. You know, every time you step on the floor, you're going to be in a battle.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Radio Road Show Thursday ahead of Michigan State, Nebraska, Real Red tip-off. Eddie Markowski is coming up. 76 beers on tap. I am staring and, quite frankly, drooling. Their wings are smoked. They're phenomenal. And I'm sure Brandon Vogel will ask for some extra seasoning next time I see him here at Longwell's. We say hi to Hail Varsity's managing editor, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, what can I pour you, dude?
a lot of choices. It's always tough at a place like Longwell's because they've got everything. So then you really got to drill down onto what you actually want, you know. So it's one of those good problems to have most of the time.
Am I a poor husband? And before you answer that, just blindly, this is the first game I'm taking my wife to since the Nebraska-Notre Dame game 2001. I'm taking her to the Michigan State game tonight because Junior's been exiled in Tampa. He packed a blow dart gun and 15 Sharpies with about 8 judge jerseys, so we'll see if he's deported or not.
Well, that's because you were working all those games in between, right? You've been at this since 2001, Notre Dame, yeah? No?
I know, but the point is, hey, let's go stand on the sideline and intern for ABC. We'll haul ice and it'll be cool.
points for having a unique day.
No, that's right. So, yeah, I get to sit with her today, and that'll be lovely for all. You didn't answer the question. Let's move on to walk-on punters from IMG. Sammy Cawjaw is a guy that had a lot of people recruiting him. Nebraska was able to get him. And before we get into some FPI and just an incredible amount of work you've done this week, and it's been phenomenal, as always, on Nebraska projections, I like this, Vogues. I like looking at another leg to help strengthen the weakest part of your football team, not punting per se, but special teams. And you know what? You can do a lot worse than finding the kid out of IMG.
Yeah, that's a high level of football, of course, and you're surrounded by players that should, you know, it's different for every guy, but potentially ease the transition to college a little bit just when you're surrounded by so many good players. Half joking here, but not really. Is the kicking competition for both punter and kicker going to be one of the most competitive parts of the spring? I mean, Nebraska has got a fleet of guys there between walk-ons and, you know, invited walk-ons, et cetera, to compete for those jobs. And we'll see. You got to turn that into a positive. And I think in this case, the more you have of those, the better. You'd rather have them locked up, of course, but Nebraska doesn't and shouldn't after the way special teams performed in 2019. So may the best leg win.
Listen, I'm all good with having options, but settle on the right option, right? Let's get somebody to win the job. And then when it's time to pin somebody in the five into a 25-mile-per-hour wind, let's do it if you're a Nebraska fan. Or let's find somebody that can kick it 12 yards deep into the end zone, into the wind or with the wind. I'm all for pooch kicks if you can get coverage, but you need consistent coverage people. And you had one great outing against Purdue, special teams-wise, and then it cost you about four games in 2 years. So I'm all for more bodies. I know it's a walk-on. I know the roster's expanded. But settle on the right dudes. And that's the charge of the new special teams guru, isn't it?
It is. Those kicking spots in particular are one you want to have to think about every 3 years, because you identified the right guy and knew the previous guy who you were happy with leaving. And that's what it was for a long time under Politi. You just kind of went and you had guys who could get it done. And last year was unique in terms of the injuries and all of those things. I certainly didn't enter 2019 thinking Nebraska had a problem at kicker, because Barrett Pickering, you know, had a pretty strong, pretty solid freshman year after some early jitters. So these things go that way. You hope that, yes, a new special teams analyst can kind of spearhead the effort there, and all kind of roads run through him, so they collectively come up with kind of their strategy there. And then you get to work on deciding those jobs, and hopefully they stick for a little while.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter is where you follow him. We're at Longwell's ahead of Nebraska, Michigan State, Real Red tip-off. A lot of Nebraska fans loading up, getting ready for Sparty and Izzo to come in. We'll see if Nebraska can snap their streak. Bogues, you spent a lot of time on FPI, and you did your own work, brother. You stepped in and looked at where Nebraska could be. You looked historically all the way back to 2014 with projections and accuracy. You also went through and kind of did some point spreads here. And what has this done this week to influence you on Nebraska football as you look towards 2020?
I don't know if it's changed much. I didn't really have a sense of where Nebraska would come in FPI and FP Plus for that matter. It was a little bit higher than I expected, but I expected them to be pretty high, just based on what they return and knowing the role that plays, and some other things, having a returning quarterback, et cetera. So that was a bit surprising. Also wasn't that surprised that, you know, we've seen some backlash to that, and I get that point of view too. Part of what I did, you know, tried to do in that write-up this morning was just look at, okay, yeah, it says 22, but realistically you're talking about a range of outcomes here. And generally for FPI, that range is about 18 spots. That's what it's been. That's kind of been the standard error. And so you look at Nebraska, that's pretty wide range. If they're at 22 now, that's number 4 to number 40. Those are two very different seasons. But, you know, those things are kind of all within, they wouldn't be that out of order. And that's really what a predictive model like this is saying, is here's where they fall. If you just count down by numbers, you know, these ratings that we've assigned to all these teams. And from there, you know, things are going to change a little bit. And hopefully, if it's your team, they change towards the good. Sometimes they change towards the bad. And that's kind of been Nebraska a little bit over that last six-season stretch.
They have been around, and sometimes they've overachieved, the FPI win prediction. I think of 2014, I think they've undersold or underdelivered a couple of times as well. And that goes into that goes into special teams play. That goes into injury. Nebraska's been one of the more transitional teams in college football, along with Colorado, along with Tennessee. Who else is up there? I mean, there's coaching changes. Florida's had quite a few. they've been okay. But you get what I'm saying, right? I mean, that has not helped things. Do you believe that when you look at this Nebraska football team, even despite some youth, you've got some experience, and you're getting guys entering into year three now of a system, whether they're grizzled vets that are seniors or maybe they're true juniors or maybe they're redshirt sophomores, should you see a jump when it comes to playmaking and execution in some crunch time moments? I mean, that to me is the biggest story for Nebraska football, has been their consistency in some key spots. I mean, there's 22 guys that got to go out there and do it. You have special teams. You've had some tough ball games. But what I want to see them do is not panic and not have a misstep. You're going to have a lot of close games again, Vogues. And I think it's time to get over the hump this year by the end of the year. You're not going to win all of them, but you need to start winning some of them.
You do. And you're right. This is a team with good returning experience when you look at it in terms of numbers, you know, rushing yards returning, et cetera. But it's still a young team. Like, just maybe look at the roster and look at the number of freshmen and sophomores on there. It's still a young team. So can they have that? I think they can. You know, you look at a guy like Deontay Williams, who's probably been at more Nebraska practices with the fewest number of games played at this point. And it's just, you know, how it worked out with injuries and that first year and maintaining a redshirt for him. But we look at that guy as an experienced guy, and he hasn't played a ton of football games yet, but you hope that experience has helped him. And that's what things like FPI are trying to measure. You mentioned Nebraska being one of those schools hit hard by kind of transition over that stretch. So from 2014 to 19, Nebraska has underperformed its wins projection from FPI by about 7.5 games. And okay, that's what it is. You can either look at that as, well, Nebraska is underperforming or FPI is wrong. You know, one of those two. But you start looking at other teams, Iowa, 8 wins over. You know, so it kind of balances these things out a little bit. And that's what you're really talking about is kind of a range there. And why is Iowa eight games over? Well, they've been really talented of late. They've had some really like singular guys, NFL guys, and they've had continuity. I mean, I think those things help.
Vogue's got about 2 minutes here, and a thought on what you saw from PJ Fleck in Minnesota. Apples and oranges with their year three schedule compared to Nebraska's year three schedule. But they're very similar when it comes to the roster flip. And the only difference is you had Fleck build from scratch at a MAC school versus an AAC spot where Frost was at. And could you see a pop for Nebraska? It may not be a 9-win year for Nebraska this year, but they have an opportunity to grow and get better and take some steps. Could you see that being a reality for Nebraska, what you saw with Minnesota last year? Brad Edwards told us, you know, look at Tennessee's finish. You could see that from Nebraska this year as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Nebraska needs one of those sooner rather than later. And this year, you know, it's probably not going to be the 11-win season, you know, with the bowl game in there that Minnesota had. But it could be pretty along the lines of what some of these things are projecting, where Nebraska goes 7-5 against a really, really tough schedule. And that's pretty darn good when you look at who they had to play. And you don't get to go to the New Year's Day bowl game doing that. But you would submit yourself as having taken a big, big step and having been good. And I think that's as important as anything for this program right now. So that seems more likely than kind of jump that Minnesota made, that FPI kind of projected. You know, Minnesota had one key advantage too. As we look back on it, they had a kind of a singular recruiting class, that Tracy Clay's class that is juniors and seniors now, really ended up being a really good group. There's not a lot of guys around from the two classes preceding Scott Frost. So that's part of this discussion too.
Vogues, we'll talk Saturday. You're awesome, and thanks for all you're doing, bud.
All right, thank you.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Brandon Vogel, Hale Varsity Radio, back here at Longwells ahead of Nebraska-Michigan State. Real red tip-off. We're here till 6. Don't forget, we've got Andy Markowski checking in here in about 20 minutes. And we will spend some time with Coach Jeff Smith, a longtime assistant for Nebraska basketball, Hall of Fame coach as well, a lot of years with Southeast, and get his take on Nebraska and Sparty and the high school talent that he's been able to see this season. I know we kind of do a high school hit as well. Reminder to get buckled up. And when you buckle up, you prevent excessive injury. When your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry, that applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. So I have sold my wife. She's going to the game with me tonight. Not her ticket, but I might. I've told her about what Dan Dockett, she introduced to me last time we were here. And it's the grilled cheese and tomato soup. But the grilled cheese has a little bit of bacon jam on it. And it also has some sliced apples. And it was wonderful. She's already zeroing in on the grilled cheese when she gets down here, assuming I don't sell her seat. So we're hanging out here at Longwells, 4 to 6, Hale Varsity Roadshow, real red tip-off. So let's get you an update here. And David Ortiz has sounded off down in Fort Myers. David, of course, Big Poppy is a legend, survived that attack about a year ago. Maybe it's been a little less than a year, but always been a Big Poppy guy. I loved how clutch he has been throughout his career with the Red Sox. But Big Poppy sounds off on Oakland pitcher Mike Fears, the whistleblower in the sign-stealing scandal that's engulfed baseball the last few months, saying that the former Astros hurler should have said something in the moment about the infamous trash can banging scheme instead of waiting until he was on another team. This is quoting Big Poppy. I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher, who came out talking about it. And let me tell you why. Well, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it. Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why didn't you say, I don't want to be no part of it? So you look like you're a snitch. Why you got to talk about it after? That's my problem. Why nobody said anything while it was going on? So that's fair from Big Poppy. Why not in the moment fess up and prevent the cheating from going on? But you know as well as I do, you're not really supposed to distract. And yeah, timing-wise, there could have been better timing. Here's the other side of it, Big Poppy. Why don't you guys just not cheat? Either with chemicals, or why didn't you guys just not cheat with camera work? It's pretty simple. Why don't you, if you're AJ Hinch or Cora, maybe you devised it, but you were in positions of power to shut it down. Yeah, I get the snitch part completely. And it could have been handled way better and much more differently. But to come out after the fact and say, you know, why didn't you talk about it in the moment? Really, at least the guy came forward. And you're not going to risk and ruin your career. You're just not going to do it without immunity. That had to be on the table. This is pretty good information from Jonathan LaCroix, who's a catcher. Says he was changing signs every pitch versus the Astros. And you had 4 years playing in the American League West. LaCroix found himself in a unique position to observe the sign-stealing tactics of the Astros while needing to plan against the scheme. LaCroix is now with the Red Sox, played for the Athletics, played for the Texas Rangers, played for the Angels in the AL West during the span. And as a divisional rival, he saw up close the effectiveness of Houston's actions. And Lucroy says, I knew about that about 2 years ago, that it was going on. So Lucroy goes on to say, especially in that division, when he played against Houston, they were all well aware of Houston doing things, and it was up to us to try and outsmart them. It's kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. They had code breaking involved. We actively changed our signs every single pitch. We were changing signs. You had them. They had to, because they would relay them to second, stealing them from first, too, from between your legs. They had a very intricate system going on. We're all well aware of it, and it was a challenge. It was a mental challenge to really overcome. It's easier said than done, but it's a shame, and I'm glad it came out. I'm glad it came to light. He said that Lucroy said that fears informed him of Houston's tactics once they became teammates in Oakland in 2018. The revelation led Lucroy to sign a minor league deal with Boston earlier this week to create more and more intricate sign calling patterns to preemptively fight any tactics used by the Astros, working with different pitchers and calling for different tactics as well. Lucroy also added that he never heard the banging of the trash can, but he would not have been listening for it in the first place. Pitchers don't want to sit there and try to think about decoding your signs and thinking about your indicators and all the different things that you're doing. So Lucroy is a 10-year Major League Baseball vet. They want to sit there and just worry about executing. Some guys can handle it. Some guys can't. It was very difficult. Think about that. Think about having to change your sign and be two steps ahead with your play calling every pitch. That's incredible. And you want to talk about a commodity and a big-time source for Major League Baseball, and I hope for Manfred, I hope they go to the guy. And if you're on the hill, there's paranoia, man. Paranoia played a massive role in shaping Lucroy's preparation for Houston. Sign stealing's always been a part of the game, but Lucroy said Houston's efforts extended beyond what he'd seen. At times, Lucroy said players would look out into the outfield to see if anyone in the bullpen had binoculars. Case in point, he remembers Edwin Jackson. He's a guy that he'd been around a long time, so I know that he could get real complicated on signs, and he'd be okay. It was a mental workout. We were switching signs every pitch, every single pitch, because you had to. If you didn't, they were going to get it and go there and take advantage of it. So Major League Baseball's touched on the new technology to allow pitchers and catchers to communicate without putting signs down. Lucroy has been skeptical about its effectiveness and its ability not to get hacked. They've talked about earpieces. They've talked about radio transmitters. The thing is, someone's going to hack into it. That's a reality. Think about it. Think about the fact with the headset and getting the old channel locked in. We'll wind down hour one here at Longwells ahead of Michigan State, Nebraska. Real Red tip-off, Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN Lincoln. And Andy Markowski's checking in. Wings, sandwiches, 76 beers on tap. Come see us at Longwells.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you here at Longwells, Hail Varsity Radio, Real Red tip-off in front of Michigan State, Nebraska. Sparty, Izzo, Cassius Winston, Hoiberg, his son Jack. I mean, going to be an incredible environment at PBA. Nice weather. I'm going to warm up tomorrow, and we're just right across. We want to see you at Longwells, get some food, get some drink, and then make your way across the street a little before tip-off, 7:30 FS1, the amazing Kevin Kugler on the call tonight, and Bill Raftery, Mr. Onions himself. That guy's just awesome. And if you don't have seats to Nebraska and Michigan State, you've got the Megatron TV set up here with Longwells. I mean, just incredible TVs everywhere. And then the three monster screens that you can surely come watch the game down here or retreat down here if you need a stiff one at halftime. So down here at Longwells, Real Red Tip-Off. Be back down here. I think the final – there's another Thursday game coming up. It might be Northwestern. I don't know. I got to double-check the Nebraska schedule, but always pretty special with Sparty coming to town. That is nice. Andy Markowski will be with us, the pride of Ord, Husker basketball standout, part of Legends Weekend last weekend. Get his thoughts on Sparty. Get his take on some of the high school talent. Jeff Smith, part of the Nebraska basketball program, in the knee era Hall of Fame coach with Lincoln Southeast, going to join us in 525. Burke's Best Bets. Danny Burke will check in at 540 from the desert. We'll get his take on Nebraska Sparty. Get his thoughts on Iowa, Ohio State. What do the lines look like? What are the over-unders positioned like right now? And then you have full swing going on with Major League Baseball and spring training. The time is now to get in on some win totals. The time is now to make some money for the Fall Classic. Not who's going to win the World Series per se, but you know what? Can Cincinnati replicate what they did? What are Danny's Cubs going to do this year? How are the Red Sox and Yankees looking? Is there any way to make some easy money off of the Houston Astros? So all that coming up. Good stuff on Nebraska football. Pretty good story out with Sam McEwen in the World Herald. And, of course, all the FBI good stuff from Brandon Vogel. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Does Nebraska snap their 10-game losing streak? I'm not feeling it. I'll have a prediction here in about an hour. What I do want, though, send an email, chris@halevarsity.com. How does Nebraska get it handled tonight? Prayer, that's welcome. But can Cam Mack get back to being all-conference and newcomer Cam Mack? Let's hear it as we're going to give you a pair of tickets to Lucas Nelson. He is a big-time talent. Lucas Nelson is going to be at the Bourbon March 27th. We have a pair of tickets right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, Lucas Nelson. You'll get on that guest list, Lucas Nelson at the Bourbon, March 27th. Caller 4 right now, Lucas Nelson at the Bourbon with Hail Varsity and ESPN. Caller 4, hour 2 coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Into hour 2, we are live at Longwells ahead of tip-off against Michigan State and Nebraska as Izzo is in, the mayor is ready, and we say hi to the pride of Ord, Husker standout Andy Markowski. Andy, how's the road trip been today, man?
Not too bad. I know I've had enough to Sioux City. I got a little snow yesterday, but roads are good. So just a little phone time and a little window time.
Beautiful Sioux City, brother. Smile about that.
Absolutely. It's flowing rivers and mountains, and the smell is always kind of catches you off guard, but other than that, I make it up here every couple weeks.
What do you think here of Nebraska? Had another tough one over the weekend. The second half didn't go the way it needed to. Michigan State comes into town. Nebraska in the midst of a 10-game losing streak. Kavas gets hurt. That isn't good. He had been playing well. What do you think about tonight's matchup? I think Vegas says -11.5.
Yeah, perfect, right? You got a Tom Izzo coach team, which is, it's easy to take advantage of him. You know, he's inexperienced, doesn't quite know how to rally his team late in the year. And, you've got a limited bench. Michigan State, they only lead the league in field goal percentage defense, 3-point percentage defense and rebounding. So certainly, obviously, I kid. It's a difficult matchup. You know, at some point, I think Michigan State's going to start playing better. You know, they have the pieces. Certainly, you know, Winston is you know, one of the top players in the league at the point guard spot. So you hope they don't turn the corner tonight. But certainly a challenge. You know, Nebraska has proven that they can score with any team in the Big Ten. You know, unfortunately, we go through a few scoring droughts, and defensively, we just don't have enough to really defend possession to possession. But I'll be anxious to see if Coach Hoiberg's offense can spread Michigan State. If we can take advantage of you know, Cam at the point guard spot, and I'm anxious to see how he matches up to you know, what most consider the best point guard in the Big Ten, if not the country.
Winston is a special player. He is a leader. He's a playmaker and a shot taker and maker. And if you're looking at that matchup, and it's easy to do so because you've got a young talent in Cam Mack, and you've got the old guard in Cassius Winston. Where can Cam go to work, if at all, on Winston? You got the crafty vet versus the freak athlete that's uber talented. Can Nebraska win that battle or stalemate that battle tonight?
Well, what makes Michigan State so good defensively is they play team defense. So obviously Winston is not going to be asked to control Mack without some help from the gap. You know, they'll find some areas to help, and they certainly don't want to see Winston in foul trouble. And, you know, sometimes they move him off the ball to kind of a B-level offensive player just to make sure that he doesn't get in foul trouble to stay on the court and lead the team. So, you know, I hope Cam, you know, spend some time watching and studying Winston. I think the next opportunity for Mack to develop as a player is to mature. You know, I was down there this weekend for Legends Weekend, and, you know, a lot of the talk with Cam is just his lack of extra, right? Extra film, coming to practice early, staying late, you know, doing the little things that make you from good to great. You know, Cam hasn't quite understood, you know, the time that you've got to put in to make that leap. And, you know, having a kid like Winston in the conference that you play, you know, hopefully he can study and learn and have a better understanding of how to make that next step, because, you know, we've all seen the talent that Mack has. He's immensely talented to the point where he's going to set every record as a point guard in probably the history of the program if he stays all 3 years, which we've had some pretty good point guards between Jack Moore and Brian Carr and Teron Liu, and, you know, you name it. We've had some talented kids at that spot, and I think Cam is going to break all the records.
Eddie Markowski's with us, the Pride of Ords Husker standout, and part of that Legends Weekend. Take me a little further into Legends Weekend, what it's like for you, what it's like for some of your fellow teammates and just part of that Husker fraternity when events like that are hosted. It happens every year. Wisconsin was in town last weekend. Do you really enjoy it? There are most years you get to it, some years you don't, but what do you take away from it?
You know, I credit Coach Miles for putting it together. You know, we went through a stretch with Barry that really, you know, he always said we're welcome, but there really wasn't a lot of extra stuff that went on where you felt like, you know, if you went to campus, the coaches and people took the time to spend with you and get to know you. And then obviously Doc had kind of an open door policy, but really didn't put any structure to it. You know, Tim actually, you know, put the weekend together, and they've added to it. You know, there's you know, opportunities to come in the night before and have kind of social time, which, you know, as you know us, there's cold beverages usually involved with those things, and then, you know, opportunity to go to shoot around, to eat with the team, to go and play, and then afterwards there's always a reception. Unfortunately, this year I was able to take in the game was all, and it's kind of went full circle for me. I've got a 10-year-old son. So I was able to take him down and be around the team. You know, he got some shots up at Hendricks Sports Center. You know, we went to the game. He got a chance to meet some of the former, you know, players. He got he learned Dave Hoppin was the all-time leading scorer, and that's, you know, he told me that's what he wants to be. So we, you know, managed to squeeze a picture in with him and Dave Hoppin. So those are, you know, really enjoyable things for me to now get to take my son and be around you know, a place that meant a lot to me. So it's a great weekend. I wish I could get more of our guys back. You know, most of my teammates have scattered across the country. A lot of them are still involved in basketball, from, you know, Teron coaching the NBA, Cookie Belcher's at IMG. you know, a lot of us still have basketball as a big part of our lives, so it's hard to sneak away in the wintertime when all of us are busy with still basketball giving back as coaches. But, you know, it's a fun weekend. I think they had 80-some players, you know, back from, you know, you name it, from, you know, Fitzpatrick was back from, you know, 53, the team that beat Wilt Chamberlain. So it's just fun to listen to their stories and meet. You know, every year you meet a few new players that hadn't made it back. So it's, you know, I'm glad they still have it, and I'm glad I was able to take part of a small piece of it on Saturday.
That's pretty awesome. Andy Barkowski sharing some thoughts on Legends Weekend. When it comes to Michigan State, do you believe Michigan State's the Big Ten's best hope for a national championship, or do you see that shifting to maybe a Maryland? Could someone else emerge here? As Sparty's been in that funk, I don't know that they stay in it tonight. I think they find a way against Nebraska, but they had a great road win against Illinois, and then they blew a big lead to Maryland at home. I mean, but is Michigan State still the team to beat out of the Big Ten?
Well, I thought they were probably better than Maryland, but you know, I got to give Maryland credit to go into, you know, East Lansing and beat Michigan State. I would have a hard time telling you that Michigan State is better than Maryland. You know, Cohen is starting to really, you know, be more consistent for Maryland, and certainly they've got a great front line. So I think those two, if I was going to you know, say, hey, who are Elite Eight teams, I don't believe there's a national champion in the Big Ten this year, Chris. I think Elite Eight is probably the end of the line for one of those two teams based on what I've seen. But yeah, you know, crazy things happen. There's still, you know, 3 weeks of the season left, and you know, we all, you know, Tom Izzo is kind of like the New England Patriots. Every year you kind of think they're going to go away, and they don't. He just keeps winning. They keep getting better, and he finds a way to put his kids in the best spots to be successful. So certainly I wouldn't count them out, but I think Elite Eight is probably what I've seen is the best finish for any Big Ten team.
Andy Markowski is with us. Andy, let's spend a little bit of time here with in-state talent. You had the monster showdown between Hunter Salas and Donovan Williams Tuesday up in Omaha. You got Chucky Hepburn that's incredible. You got three D1 kids on Millard North. Donovan's being courted by Kansas and Oregon and A&M and a number of programs. There is so much in-state talent for the first time in a long time, and I go back to you're an in-state kid. I go back to some guys like Strickland and Badgett and Boone and Chubbuck, teammates of yours, and part of that era with Danny, that the in-state talent and even Woolridge before he transferred, they stayed in Lincoln or they stayed in Nebraska. I don't know how many kids Hoiberg can get from Lincoln or Omaha or the surrounding areas right now with the way Nebraska basketball is performing. It'll get flipped, we think. Fred will find a way to win. But does the winning have to come first before you get some of the higher profile in-state kids?
Well, I think every kid's looking for different, you know, opportunities. You know, not by not winning. You know, I look at how fast Andy Knee was able to sell to that recruiting class, right, with Boone and Strickland and Woolridge, the opportunity to come in and play and make a difference immediately. Sometimes that's really attractive to young kids. You know, certainly Hoiberg has the whole package of, you know, all of this group, you know, probably aspires to play professionally at some level. You know, I think they're being selective. I look at Chucky as talented as Chucky is. I don't think he fit kind of the straight line point guard downhill that Coach Hoiberg wanted. I think Wisconsin was a great fit for him. I don't, you know, I just feel like that was the right fit. I think Donovan Williams is as talented as he is, is a high volume shooter. You know, I know he outscored Salas on Friday, but he, you know, he took twice as many shots. You know, I think Salas and Green, they've pinpointed two kids that, you know, fit their system from a talent, from an upside. But you know, obviously signing Hunter is going to be a huge task with him getting a 5-star ranking. You know, his body probably fits, you know, maybe more of a Pac-12 or more of a finesse league. You know, you hope Coach Hoiberg can sell him on the development that can happen at Nebraska under his tutelage and get him to the NBA. But, you know, you're right. There's enough talent in this state to I always laugh at people like, well, you need to take an in-state kid because it'll help with fan attendance. I've never bought that. Mm-hmm. Fan attendance, they come when you win, and you have to take kids that you think can help your program and your system win. You know, the Charlie Easley stories are awesome, but in the end, if Charlie can't help Nebraska win, that story dies off as well. You need to take kids that you think can play and help you win in the top three or four, five, six in the Big Ten, and you know that takes a really talented kid. And I think Salas and Green are those two kids, and I think Hoiberg and his staff have targeted those two as priorities.
Well, and Andy, it's one thing to stay home and play in front of your family, but you also fit Knee's system, correct? I mean, that's the other part of this, and I think you made a great point. You'd love to take all of these Nebraska kids that are good enough to play Power 5, but you got to fit the offense too, correct?
Yeah, and I think, you know, they backed away from Chucky in a sense that he didn't fit what they wanted. I mean, you compare, you know, a big, strong guard that drives off of strength to Cam Mack, and you see right away they're very different mm-hmm. kids. And, you know, I think Hoiberg is smart enough to know how he wants to play and what kids can really help do that. And you know, there's, you know, by whatever happened with Donovan, you know, I don't know, but mm-hmm. you know, my guess is there was probably a mutual, you know, Donovan wants to go somewhere and start as a freshman and shoot it 20 to 25 times. And I don't know if Nebraska wanted that from a compatibility standpoint. That, you know, that's my perspective from the outside looking in. So, you know, it's going to look bad when he leaves and goes to another high major program, but in the end, I right now I trust what the staff is doing at Nebraska, and to your point, there's more than just you know, Chucky and Donovan. I mean, there's, you know, Green will be a top 100 kid, and obviously Salas is mm-hmm. gonna, you know, maybe end up in the top 15 to 18 players in the country from what I've seen, which we haven't had a player that talented, you know, maybe ever. I think he might be the highest rated, you know, player that's ever come out of the state, which, you know, if Nebraska doesn't get him, you know, you can't be critical. You know, you're competing against the who's who of basketball for those kids. And, you know, Coach Hoiberg only being here a year, you know, you hope they're able to expedite that relationship. I know Salas has been on campus several times, and they've prioritized him as Fred missed, you know, his son's games in Omaha and Legends weekend on Saturday to fly and make Green and Salas a priority. So that speaks to where they, you know, in their mind, you know, they want those two kids from Millard North.
Eddie Markowski, Andy, about 30 seconds. Coach Beilein is not going to stay in the NBA. Is he a guy that can land at maybe a Texas, or where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I know he'll end up somewhere this year. I mean, this is a guy it's been a phenomenal career if no one has followed it. The guy has been a head coach every day of his, you know, professional life, never been an assistant from, you know, D3 to D2 to, you know, mid-major to high major to now the NBA. Obviously, he finally got to a level that he just didn't fit, wasn't comfortable at. So I see, you know, to your point, Chris, I think if there's coaches on the fence right now, schools are going to make, you know, probably a really hard decision to move on and get Beilein in place just because of his track record as a collegiate head coach. You know, there's probably not a better candidate out on the market right now. So, you know, there's probably some big schools, you know, from Indiana to Michigan to
Minnesota,
you know, some of these schools that you know, maybe aren't completely satisfied with their head coach are probably going to take a run at John. And, you know, it'll be fun to see him back in college because I've always enjoyed watching his kids improve and his teams improve.
Eddie Markowski, the pride of Ord, Husker standout. Andy, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for your insight, bud.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Real Red Tip-Off continues down here at Long Wales. Hail Varsity Radio here till 6. St. James, the Spartan fan, has arrived. We'll get caught up with Jeff Smith, former Nebraska coach and Hall of Fame coach. We'll chat some more Big Red Hoops. Hail Varsity.
And now.
Continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We're back here at Long Wales, Real Red Tip-Off, Hail Varsity Radio, just in front of Nebraska-Michigan State. Mike St. James, dear friend, former Cube mate, and a longtime Spartan fan is to my right. He's having something cold. We just took a selfie. It looked awkward. He's trying to escape. The wife is here FaceTiming Junior, and she's in her Spartan gear. Someone needs to clear my head. We welcome in Hall of Fame coach. Part of his time with Danny Nee in Nebraska, we say hi to a longtime coach at Southeast. Jeff Smith is with us. Coach, big one tonight. How are you?
Great. How are you doing tonight, today?
We're good, man. We're getting geared up. It's still cold out, but a little bit doable temperature-wise. Folks are packing in here down at Long Wales, and you know what? Should be pretty nice. Coach, I want to get your thoughts here on Nebraska and Michigan State real quick before we dive into some, you know, high school thoughts this week. And I love talking all hoops with you. And as you look at this point guard showdown here between Winston and Mack, you know, where can – and I talked to Andy Markowski a little bit last – you know, Andy's one of your guys, played for you at Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know, where can Nebraska maybe make some hay? I guess my worry is Mack trying to do too much and Winston being the grizzled vet that – can score, can steal, and obviously can assist. Can Nebraska win the point guard matchup tonight? I look at Cam's athleticism and skills, and I'm like, wow. But Winston's so crafty and uber-talented. He's been in these moments. He's been on the road before.
Yeah, obviously the experience factor should play into this matchup. It's the old experienced dog against the pup, and we're hoping the old dog doesn't teach him too many new tricks. But what a great learning experience for Cam, and I think Cam's quickness is special, though, and I think it doesn't matter if it's Winston or whoever. I think his quickness can bother almost anybody. Cam went through a little spell where he was shooting the ball really well, but I've always said I think teams and players running cycles. You know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about Michigan struggling. Now they got it rolling. They're kind of cycled out of their downtime, and you know, Cam didn't shoot the ball quite as well the last couple games, so that scares you a little bit. But you know, really, it might come down to the cast around them. And Michigan State hasn't been, you know, really on fire around Winston lately, so we got to hope that continues. I don't think they scored a great clip on the block like some of these teams we've been seeing with Reuter and, you know, those guys and some of the bigs we've seen. So hopefully that we can just be neutral in there. And then it comes down to shooting, and teams have shot it well against us, but maybe tonight we can, you know, get out on shooters a little better. I was disappointed in that second half against Wisconsin. It just, you know, it kind of felt like the same thing, and we just, the letdown and the not closing out well and giving up twos and threes, and I don't think we can give up both all night.
Jeff Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hall of Fame coach and longtime assistant for Nebraska. It seems that Nebraska's defensive intensity is affected by how they do offensively at the rim, and we've seen this with other teams. Doesn't matter who the head coach is, you've seen issues with Nebraska being consistent on both ends of the floor when shots aren't falling, and Nebraska's had problems at the rim. You couple that with not making it happen at the free throw line consistency, and then they seem to get down on top of the dry spell that they go through just because they've been not really effective offensively from three-point land. They'll take a lot of threes. They haven't had great shooting nights. They haven't had an Iowa night or a Rutgers night in a long time. Or if they've been on from three, it just they weren't able to finish it. I'm interested to get your thought here on this Sparty team. I know that they don't have a Mutombo down in the paint. Can Nebraska be better at the rim? And is that something that you can just automatically snap their fingers and be more confident because they've been so really ineffective at the rim this season?
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing finishing drills every day. And my only thing is I'd like to see them work off 2 feet a little bit more and not commit to the 1 foot takeoff all the time. When the defender can read that they're going off 1 foot, then they can go full out block. If they can keep people off balance a little bit more sometimes. But that's kind of the NBA philosophy versus the, you know, Villanova college philosophy. And I think Fred's pretty NBA geared to the NBA, and it's just not quite as popular there that you stop and shot fake and pivot and pass it out, or, you know, reverse pivot and shoot. And so that's a little different philosophy too, that I think Fred's a little more pro that way too. But I think that, you know, the thing that bothered me about Wisconsin, and I think when teams have some toughness and maybe experienced teams, like they went like I think 1 of 6 from the free throw line during Wisconsin's run, and those free throws can kind of keep you in it, and that just kills you when you can't make free throws and make them pay for fouling you. And maybe sometimes that's how you stay in it when the other team's making a run, is just get those free throws to fall, maybe get one shot to fall and get a steal and a layup, and then that run's over. But we just couldn't end that run because we're missing free throws, missing a couple layups, and then frustration sets in, and we're not a mature enough team yet and not confident enough to overcome those runs by the other team all the time, especially when we're missing the easy ones.
Jeff Smith's with us a few minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what's your view of this Spartan program, and specifically the family ties that are real tonight with Jack playing ball for Michigan State? The time Izzo had Hoiberg around the program with that Final Four run, and even your time as an assistant at Nebraska, you guys had a couple of matchups that were really springboard ball games in the non-conference at the time against Michigan State. I think Coach Heathcote before Izzo ended up taking over.
Yeah, that, you know, that Michigan State, one of the best memories of that Michigan State series, I was sitting on the bench when Bo Reed, ran an inbound play where it was a throwback play. So Bo throws it in and just steps right in and nails a three. And that was one of those moments where it was a sellout. And the other thing we did in that game that was kind of interesting, back then you could have a spy in the sky. So we had a coach up top, and Steve Smith was playing, and we were changing defenses. They had cards on the bench, so they were calling their offensive sets by cards while our guy up top could see what they're calling. So when they went 1-4 low and were going to let Steve Smith go one-on-one, which he was unstoppable, we'd jump into a 1-2-2 zone. And when they were running some of their offenses, then we'd stay man, and it was fairly effective. And then a year later, I think they took that spy in the sky thing out. We couldn't do it anymore, but definitely helped us win that game. But yeah, that was good. But when you think of Michigan State, you think of physicalness, which can bother Nebraska. You think of toughness. You think of rebounding. And then, you know, like Henry's a really good athlete. And Winston's a deceiving athlete. He doesn't look as athletic as he really is. So that's what scares me the most, is their toughness. You know, they've been to the Final Four recently last year, and then the rebounding. I'm just scared that we're just going to get hammered on the boards.
That's a real possibility. And no trash can banging back in 1990.
No, we didn't. We could actually use headphones. Actually, we could call down to the bench, and yeah, it was a lot easier. But you know, it is kind of weird. Jack Hoiberg, and I don't think he plays a lot. You know, I think 3 minutes a game or so. But you know, you've seen a lot of teams that their kid plays for them, but you haven't seen very many where the kid plays against them. That'll be a strange dynamic, and I would think as a coach that would be really strange, seeing your kid warming up on the other, you know, the other end, and seeing him in the green instead of the red. And it'll be strange. It'll be kind of fun to watch. And Izzo will probably just put him in the game, I suppose. I don't know.
We'll see how that shakes out. Coach, about 3 minutes here. Your impressions, and we talked to Coach Quattrocchi on Wednesday after the showdown against Millard North. Another near miss by North Star. As you look here, as the season's winding down, a lot of senior nights here. Let's spend a minute here on the in-state talent, and you know how that shapes up for Nebraska in the recruiting world. And Coach Hoiberg here spent a lot of time talking with Andy Markowski about fit, and there are in-state kids that are good enough to be at major Power 5 programs, but it comes down to, you know, offensive style and system and fit. There's a couple of kids at Millard North that fit everybody because they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Can Nebraska be a threat with a Hunter Salas and some of the other kids that are around the program? I know Chucky's headed to Wisconsin, and I know Donovan's looking at Kansas and Oregon. So, you know, that ship may have sailed. What's the outlook look like for Nebraska with these in-state kids?
Yeah, I mean, we all hope that Salas, we'd have a chance at Salas. So here's my thing. Coach Hoiberg's doing the right thing of bringing in veteran players, looking at some transfers, looking at JUCOs. You know, obviously he wants to win immediately, and he's taken this year to break these guys in the Big Ten, and then he's got talent sitting there on the bench, you know, practicing with them. He's going to bring some more talent in with Teddy Allen and the other JUCO kid, and he's got to do that. Right now, you know, if you're looking at the Cadillac and looking at Kansas recruiting Donovan and Salas against Nebraska, who's never won a tournament game, it may not be till we get in the tournament and win a tournament game where we can get a five-star kid, even if he's in your own state, unfortunately. So, you know, I think Salas is kind of a long shot because he's got all these bright NCAA tournament-bound, tournament tradition teams, the Gonzagas and the Kansases. I think that's going to be hard for us to beat unless there's a special relationship built. Like we did with Strickland, that we had built a great relationship with Strickland, you know, and Tyronn Lue. We stayed with him through. He was possible top 48. We were the team that stayed with him, so we got him. So unless there's something like that where there's a connection, where they build a great relationship, I just think I'm hoping for the green kid from Millard North that in that time frame, we've gotten to the tournament. We've maybe won a tournament game or two, and he sees where this program is going for sure. And the other factor could be, like for Salas, Coach Hoiberg could develop him into an NBA guard and a good NBA guard possibly. So that could be an attraction too. But I think right now it's kind of a long shot. I think we're a dark horse, you know, in that race. And we need to take those veteran players and win with those veteran players. And then I think it'll open up all kinds of doors, especially in Nebraska.
Jeff Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Calvin Klein making his appearance here in Longwells, delivering the goods so I can take my... Coach Smith, I'm taking my wife to a Nebraska basketball game for the first time in forever, my friend. I got about a minute left, and it's family
Chris.
Night with Junior down in Tampa, so I got to sit by someone wearing Spartan gear tonight. Should I sell her seat?
Well, maybe, or see if some guy will trade you, or some other gal will trade you, shoot her over. Somebody in red, I don't know.
Trade.
I texted my wife today and said, sorry, you don't get to go tonight because one of my buddies is coming back. In fact, the GA before I was at Nebraska, great friend of mine, is coming back from. He lives over in Iowa, unfortunately. He wants to come back and go to the game. So my wife got bumped. So I better bring her some popcorn home or some flowers or something, or I'm in trouble.
I like that. Coach, we'll see you tomorrow night. Appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery at Longwells. Real red tip-off, Michigan State and Nebraska. Let us head out to the desert, and we say hi to the Pride of Chicago. It is Danny Burke, Burke's Best Bets, working for Brent Musburger on VSiN, channel 204 on Sirius XM. Danny, you are on TV. You are on Twitter. You got a sport coat. You have zero dandruff. You're looking good, my man. How are you?
I'm good, Smitty. I'm just trying to look as sharp as you, my man.
Well, you're skinny, and you got the Chicago twang. You're perfect, my friend. So it has been busy for you. And we'll get into some Big Ten games tonight. We'll get your thoughts on Iowa and Ohio State. We'll get your take on Nebraska, Sparty. Big showdown Saturday with some college basketball. But you've been examining a lot of Major League Baseball. I got to ask you, where are you coming out here with this whole Astros cheating scandal? You're a huge baseball guy. You've been really good with the analytics and putting some runs together for you and a way to make folks some money, just some great data and advice you give. Where are you at with Houston for 2020 with this whole thing? And this continues to mushroom cloud each week. We move forward here towards spring training and eventually the start of the season. The win total, my friend, has plummeted for Houston.
Yeah, it has. I mean, it was up near 100, and now you see it anywhere from about like 93 to 95 in that range. Excuse me. And, you know, Schmitty, this whole debacle is just a mess right now. And, look, it sucks that the Astros cheated, and I think when people are comparing it to steroids, it's just absolutely ludicrous, right? Because while using steroids was bad, this was a collective unit, right? It wasn't an individual thing that happened with the steroids. So people like, you know, Colin Cowherd in national media, some guys like who aren't even paying attention to baseball are just out of their minds when they're talking about this, saying it'll blow over. We're still talking about the Black Sox scandal more than a century later. We're talking about Pete Rose. He only gambled out himself. That was nowhere near as bad. So this is brutal. And the commissioner talks about how they used it in the postseason as well. You saw the difference in their home and road split. It matters. And it's just absolute BS at this point, Schmitty, that, you know, I mean, there has to be actions that need to be taken, and the commissioners is doing a terrible job at presenting the right answer to this. And I think, honestly, at this point, the commissioner is going to be hated more so than the Astros when it's all said and done, because he called the trophy a piece of metal. He's telling people they can't hit him, and I know he's got to say that. But now the people who are going to hit the opposing batters are going to face more punishment than the actual Astros players who cheated in the first place. I mean, it's just absolutely asinine the way this process has gone about. Manfred's doing an awful job, but nonetheless, I will say I am excited to see how it's going to turn out when they go on the road, especially in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be you'll need face masks and mouthpieces and lots of ice, and, you know, Manfred's botched this. It's been horrific. More and more data comes out. It was intricate. You had the code breaking like we're in World War II. I mean, it was pretty in-depth. And, yeah, I mean, steroids help you hit the ball. Knowing what type of filthy slider is coming really helps you execute against pitching. And, it, you know, you can absolutely censure Houston, and you can certainly take some money away from their postseason winnings. Danny Burks with us here out in Las Vegas, the pride of Chicago, Burks Best Bets. Danny, let's get into some hoops. And the line right now for Nebraska, Michigan State's 12. Sparty is 1-7 against the spread in their last eight. They have been reeling, but it just feels like a green kind of night. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Nebraska covers, but their second halves have been very poor for the Big Red.
Yeah, like you said, I'm looking it's about 12 to 12 and a half around town, and you put up that number. That's the one I had, was 1-6 ATS the last seven games as a road favorite are the Spartans. However, in the last five meetings between these teams, the favorite is 5-0 against the spread, and the Cornhuskers 0-4 ATS the last four games as a home underdog. But look, I don't want anything to do with this game, Schmitty, because it just feels so gross, right? You have Michigan State coming off that bad loss at home against Maryland. Nebraska just can't buy a win. But at the same time, this Nebraska team finds a way to cover these double-digit spreads when they're a dog in that situation. So if you had to have me bet it, I would take the points with Nebraska at 12.5. But if we're actually putting money down, I don't trust one team or the other, so I'd completely stay away personally.
What do you think tonight with Ohio State and Iowa? Iowa got a big road win against Minnesota. Little Richard may be on his way out if Beeline's available. That's my take. Craig Smith's also a name for Minnesota. All that said, you've got here and now for Iowa at home here. What do you think of tonight's matchup? I think it's, what, -2.5?
Yeah, so -2.5 was about the consensus last I saw, and this is actually one of my two best bets for the night, Schmitty. I like Iowa here, and I took the money line just to be safe at about -145. The Buckeyes 3-5 in true road games. Iowa's been dominant at home, 12-1 this season. Hawkeyes 8-1-2 ATS, their last 11 is a home favorite, and in the last seven meetings between these teams, the home team is 6-1 against the spread. So I think Iowa bounces back offensively in this game. Like you said, they got the win, but you need to see that dominant offense. They play a lot better at home than they do on the road. I get the Buckeyes have a good defense, and they're starting to pick it up as they did at the beginning of the year, but I think it's a huge game for Iowa at home here. It's the first home game in quite a while, so I think Garza's going to stand out. I think the offense is going to figure it out. But will Ohio State be able to keep up offensively? That's my big concern. So I think Iowa gets the outright win. I took him on the money line, -145.
Danny Burke, live from Las Vegas, working for VSiN, Channel 204 on Sirius XM, working for Musburger, and Burke's Best Bets here. He joins us every Thursday, Hale Varsity Radio here at Longwell's Real Red Tip-Off. Need your take on Saturday. I don't know if there's some early lines out, but it's a great day to buy a bucket of beer and and watch some hoops. You've got Kansas and Baylor that start things off at 11. Oregon, Arizona. I don't know how many shrooms Bill Walton will be shoving down his mouth, but it's entertaining, I'll say that. And then Gonzaga, BYU. BYU's moved all the way up to a lot of places have him as a 7 seed. Any of those games intrigue you at all? Baylor has been on just such a roll.
Yeah, they really have. And it's funny you mentioned Baylor because they've been on this roll, and a lot of the sharp bettors out here keep fading them because they think, well, it's only a matter of time before someone can at least cover the number or plays them close. And here we are, time and time again, Baylor finds a way to cover. And you know, a lot of people think Kansas is actually the number one team in the country. So it'll be interesting to see where this point spread is. I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas ends up being a slight favorite in this spot, honestly. And it'll be interesting to see where the sharp and square action go on this game. But yeah, that's definitely at the top of my list. I've been keeping an eye on West Virginia throughout the course of the season. They've been a fun team to watch. They've had a tough schedule, but I think they're a team who can make it deep into the tournament come March. And then, of course, Dayton, right? This is a high-explosive offense, and they're ranked fifth now, but they're playing Duquesne on the weekend, so not a big game necessarily, but just for long-term stretches, I think that team is the real deal, Schmitty.
Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. Danny, where can folks catch you? What times can folks catch you? And are you ringside Saturday? Got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, so 12 p.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Central time, like you said, SiriusXM 204, VEASAN.com, on Twitter at Danny Burke 5. We'll not be ringside, but we'll be rooting for Wilder. And Schmitty, don't let your kid wear green to the game tonight.
He's down in Tampa with Aaron Judge. The wife is wearing green, but we can work on that. Danny, appreciate you much, brother. Thanks so much.
You got it. Talk to you soon, Schmitty.
There he is, Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, Burke's Best Bets. As we will wind down from Longwell's Real Red Tip-Off continues, Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here, Longwell's Real Red Tip-Off. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Sparty in Nebraska. Tip-off at 7:30. Traditionally, I bring Junior on because he's the biggest Michigan State guy I know. He is in spring training right now, harassing Aaron Judge, likely. My lovely wife is wearing Spartan gear, but she is inhaling her salad. No, we'll just leave it at that. We say hi to Mike St. James.
Hey.
Cube mate, Spartan fan, longtime butt kicker for 92.9 The Eagle.
Yes.
How are you, man? We tried to get Timo down here, our other Cube
Timo
mate.
Timo does not leave his house.
We tried to put a shock collar on him earlier and then just throw him in the trunk with duct tape, but he fought us all.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, man.
It's great to see you.
It's been about, 3 years?
And, yeah, it's been a while.
And you've got... Your cube is always decorated with Michigan State stuff, and you are back down here to see your beloved Spartans. How much crown has this season cost you?
It has been rough, but it's not just been rough for Michigan State. It's been rough for so many teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a crazy season.
A little bit, unless you're Baylor or Gonzaga.
Well, yeah, and you kind of keep waiting for them to drop.
Baylor can totally. Yeah, Baylor's incredibly talented, but you want to talk about like the most hated team in college basketball?
Yeah.
It's Baylor.
Yeah. What do you expect tonight?
I think Nebraska will hang around and then falter in the second half. And I think you'll see Winston teaching master's level courses.
I hope so.
Cassius and Izzo are big time. Fred's going to be fine here.
Yeah.
He'll have talent here. He's big time. He's just got guys that need to grow up, and this is one of those woodshed-type grow-up moments where you're taking on a team that you won at Illinois last Saturday, Sunday, one of the 2 days, and I'm like, wow, that was huge. Now, Maryland's really good, but you had that game. You always seem to, like, flip the switch. Sparty does come March, and I don't know how far you go this year, but I think you're a good basketball team. My prediction is Michigan State 76, Nebraska 61. About a 15-point win for Sparty.
I could handle that. It would be cool to see if Michigan State gets enough of a lead toward the end, they can bring on Hoiberg. And because he's a walk-on.
And let Jack
State.
Just launch a three from
yes.
half court.
And there was a game earlier where Winston was out because of an injury, mm-hmm. and Hoiberg got some quality minutes, and he looked really good.
He's really good. He can shoot. He's got his dad's grit.
Yeah.
And he's made he makes a team like Michigan State better.
Yeah.
Because he's a talent. He's not a Winston or a Langford type guy, but he pushes everybody.
Yes, he's someone you have to practice against, and he'll make you work for it.
So give me a prediction here.
If Michigan State can start early, they'll win by 15. But if they struggle early, it's going to be a tight game.
Damon, what's your prediction here, bud? What do you got tonight?
I'm calling Sparty. I'm going to give him 68, Nebraska 65. I think we'll keep it close.
Okay. Bring that rum tomorrow, okay?
I sure will.
We are winding down from Longwells. Come see us. Mike St. James, you're awesome, brother.
Oh, good great being you. With you, Chris.
Shout out to our friends at Vermeer. We love you all. Calvin Klein. And, we'll see if my wife ditches me for someone better looking tonight. Talk to you tomorrow at 4.